One spokesman says the world order has been dealt a death blow. What does he mean?
They will silence every Christian who stands for the truth if they're not stopped.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan and her guest unpack our 2024 election results. How might they play into some predicted biblical scenarios? And what might the globalists do to continue their rush to a one-world system? Here is today's programming.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. They want to kick it to Congress, so it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
Well, thank you, Congressman Raskin. That was not particularly helpful, that comment. And we are in unprecedented times, and we've recently come through a historic election. What does that mean to the world? What does it mean to the believer? Does it alter the end time timetable? Frankly, nothing will do that. But there's a lot to discuss today since the earthquake of November 5th. And Americans certainly spoke on that day. And, you know, some of the things they said was enough of putting praying grandmothers into jail or threatening jail time, enough of child trafficking that no one on the left seems to want to acknowledge, tired of being mocked, all of us are, for clinging to, as the left accused, guns and religion, tired of being lectured by America haters, being called deplorables, being called garbage, when in fact we are Christians and patriots, tired of the lunacy of thugs coming into America through our borders with the intent of killing many Americans and making us a socialist, Marxist nation. Well, we're just tired of hate America sentiment and leftist lunacy. And thank you to my audience. You turned out in record numbers. I saw a headline, America Turns the Page, Unburdened by What Has Been. Joining me for discussion this hour in studio, Pastor Mark Henry will give his church information just a little bit later. He has co-hosted some of the Understanding the Times conferences in the last 3 years. We carry his book, The Man Code. Also joining me online would be Alex Newman, LibertySentinel.org. We carry his book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. My goodness, does that book title sound even more intriguing to me right now. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Jan.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me, Jan.
Mark, let me start by saying this, because you and I, one of the downsides, perhaps the only downside to this election, is we get Tim Walz back here as governor, and he's done a perfect job decimating our state. So aren't you thrilled?
Yeah, people texted me immediately after the election and said, congratulations. Yeah. We don't get him, you do. And it's a sad reality, but we've taken back a stronger position here on the House. So we're going to end up being able to push back on some of the progressive agenda that he was so proud to share and talk about as he was out there campaigning. So we're thankful for that.
Alex Newman, and again, I'm carrying your book, Deep State. Tell me what you think the deep state is thinking right now.
Frankly, Jan, I think they're in a panic. I think they've been in a panic for a while trying to figure out what to do about this Trump problem that they've got. And I don't believe for an instant that Trump won this election by his own power. I go back to Daniel chapter 2, where God says very clearly he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. All of Donald Trump's men could not get him reelected on his own. So I do believe this is God's grace on our country. But they tried everything to stop him. And it's been going on 8 years now. They tried discrediting him politically. They tried calling him a Nazi and an anti-Semite and a racist and a xenophobe and a homophobe and every vile term you could think of to call a person. That didn't work. They started prosecuting his friends, his inner circle. General Mike Flynn, of course, was the first of many to be targeted by the deep state. That obviously didn't work. They threw a bunch of them in jail. Steve Bannon just recently finally got out. Then they tried killing him multiple times. Now they've shot at him, and I suspect they are not done yet. You just played the clip of Congressman Jamie Raskin. That was not all that long ago, just a few months ago, threatening that even if Donald Trump managed to win the election, they were still going to stop him using congressional shenanigans. So I think they're in a panic, and I think it's not just they see their agenda under threat. Their agenda, of course, is to build this one world totalitarian political, religious, and economic system to destroy Christianity, which of course is not going to happen. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church, so their goals are never going to come to fruition. But it's much more than just their agenda in jeopardy. They're terrified in a very real sense that there may be some justice, there may be some accountability. The evil deeds that they have perpetrated in the shadows because they love darkness might be dragged out into the light, and there might even be prosecutions of people who have perpetrated these horrific crimes. Now, when Donald Trump won the first time, he was very conciliatory. He said, guys, I know you were all excited, but we're not going to be prosecuting Hillary Clinton. I haven't heard him say anything like that this time around. And so I think there's a lot of people who've been involved in a lot of criminal activity, and not just regular old criminal activity, steering contracts to your brother-in-law, things like this. We're talking betrayal of our country. We're talking horrific things involving children. We're talking crimes that would not only get you put away for life, but would permanently discredit you and everybody associated with you. They're concerned that that stuff might come into the light and there may be justice. So I can't imagine how they're feeling right now. I know I wouldn't want to be them.
Mr. Mark Henry, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, you know, Jan, watching the election, I stayed up all night like you did, and we were texting back and forth with others. And I was thinking back as people were saying, I can't believe this has happened. I can't believe that Trump got elected. But Alex, you just mentioned Daniel chapter 2, is God who establishes kings and removes kings. And I was reminded of a series of things, Jan. If you think about it, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is very proud, and he looks at all that he's done and says, look at this great empire I've created. And God humbled him, and he lost his mind right in front of everybody. And if you think back with President Biden, we literally watched him deteriorate mentally.
Yes.
And then we saw the vice president and her going around, and she was having difficulty speaking and communicating in the confusion that was there. And I just think there's an interesting parallel there. And then you think about the amount of money that was spent against Donald Trump. And then you think about how the whole media with the Democratic Party being able to weaponize all levels of communication against Donald Trump. It was truly a miracle. And then you think about the assassination attempt. So you think about all these different levels. I just think we're living in amazing times. If people say, I've never seen a miracle before, and if I had saw a miracle, I'd believe in God, I would suggest look around. You've just seen a miracle.
Let me play this quick clip of Yuval Noah Harari, because he's going to open up a short discussion that I think we can have. Here he's going to talk about former President Trump. That's all who stands in the way of the global order.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely. And if it happens, it is likely to be the death blow to what remains of the global order. And he says it openly. Now, again, it should be clear that many of these politicians, they present a false dichotomy, a false binary vision of the world, as if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of global government or whatever.
Mark Henry, nobody stands in the way of the global order. We'd like to think we can do that. Some of that's written ahead of time in the Bible, so it's going to happen. The point is, perhaps this is the one man who could set them back.
Yeah, for Harari to say that before the election took place. Yeah. And you catch there at the beginning of this, his sentence was, it's likely that he will be elected. So he's processing, man, he's going to be elected. If that happens, this is the end of the global order. All the things we've been working on, planning on, all the World Economic Forums, the 2030 agenda, this could be the end of that. That was a terrifying thing for him. God in his providence interrupted their plans.
Exactly. Alex, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah, I think that's so important to point out. I read in 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is important to understand. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. obviously the things that God has told us are coming are coming. But just like it says in verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 3, for the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. And so this will happen on God's timeline, not Satan's timeline, not man's timeline. And if God chooses to use a human instrument like Donald Trump, like anybody else that he may use to delay the coming of this one world totalitarian system that Satan is so obsessed with, that his minions on this earth are so obsessed with, there's nothing they can do to stop it. And so I understand they're in a tizzy, they're in a panic. Oh no, our precious global order. And they're right to be. But ultimately, all of this is in God's purview. It will be in God's timing, and there's not one thing they can do to change it.
I was intrigued. The headline on Drudge Report, on Election Day, the world is in shock. That's sort of true. I guess God is allowing us some more time to win the lost, some more time to share the gospel. I'm just going down a little different path here because I think we should all be concerned about what is going to happen here in the interim. And I think it's 66 days, am I right, Mark?
Yeah, 66 days.
Until the inauguration. I think we need to be concerned because, again, there are bad actors out there who are going to take advantage of current President Biden and Kamala Harris, and they're going to try to wreak havoc on the planet in one way or another, and maybe multiple ways. Mark, give me your thoughts on that. And we could give a list of things that we are concerned about. We'll give a short list.
Obviously, we've already heard a senator talk about invoking the 14th Amendment. Yes. In Congress on January 6th. So when they gather again this year and do the official, yes, this is the election conclusion, and everybody acknowledges that, this is going to come on the floor. And the intention is to create chaos and to potentially create a civil war, according to what he said. So that's obviously a concern that all of us have. And then, of course, we're worried about the president-elect's safety and his whole family. We've seen two assassination attempts, and we're praying for his safety. I encourage people to do that. And then what crisis can be created between now and then that they can use to disrupt this whole situation and call again for emergency powers? Is it another war? Is it more economic stuff? The sky's the limit at this point.
Alex, speak into this, please.
We can see just from what they did during the first term, what they may be likely to do again. And we can also infer from the things that they're saying publicly, what they may be liable to do. And I don't think an expansion of at least one of the major conflicts going on around the world is out of the cards. We see that right after Trump's election, you've got people in Congress, you've got people in Europe, leaders saying, hey, now Biden's still president, at least on paper. Tell him to send more weapons to Zelensky. Tell him to give him permission to start raining missiles down on Moscow. And of course, no sensible person thinks Vladimir Putin is going to just sit back and allow missiles to rain down on Moscow. So that could easily turn into a major conflagration. Actually, on election night, this got buried in all the headlines about the election for obvious reasons. But the U.S. government was testing hypersonic nuclear missiles in California. That's kind of important. Why were they doing that? Then we've got the very, very obvious effort to stir up a civil war in this country. Mm. They're not telling their followers that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler for no reason.
Right.
This is calculated. They know what they're doing. They're planting seeds in people's mind. They're trying to get people whipped up into a frenzy, into a hysteria where anything is justified to stop his rise to power. We've got the possibility of an economic collapse. Right now, of course, in the immediate aftermath of the election, we saw a big rally in the stock market, a big rally in the dollar. But after multiple generations now of constant expansion of government spending, constant expansion of government borrowing, hundreds of trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. This is a house of cards, and it is inevitably going to collapse at some point. The question is, will they accelerate that process? Will they have the BRICS start selling U.S. Treasury bonds or some different avenue to undermine the U.S. dollar that could lead the U.S. economy to be in shambles by the time Trump takes over and then blame it on Trump? We've got the people on The View, literally the morning after the election, saying we need more social media censorship. So these are all possible things. And I think what we saw in the aftermath and during the first inauguration of Donald Trump, the riots and the burnings, the calls for assassination. And of course, we can't forget that there are still a lot of people, some of them very powerful, who would like nothing more than to murder Donald Trump with a bullet. And it sets up at least a potential for a very rough road ahead.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Pastor Mark Henry. He pastors Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. I have on the line Alex Newman. You can contact these gentlemen at markhenryministries.com and libertysentinel.org. Let me play here just a short clip of Pastor Jack Hibbs, who I believe offers a Christian perspective. He's going to introduce a clip of Scott Jennings, who is a CNN contributor.
I honestly expected God's judgment. As a nation, we have offended God. We have ridiculed God. We have done everything you can do to dishonor the God of the Bible as a nation. And I was prepared for that. But we were praying for mercy. We were all fasting from here to Knoxville, right? Fasting and praying. And I do believe, without any shadow of a doubt, that God heard the prayers of his people across the United States, and he spared, he showed mercy, great mercy. God went, I gotta tell you, I'm shocked. I was expecting to come out here tonight and to say, get ready, this is righteous judgment of God. He gave us the leaders that we deserve. He didn't do that. He gave us grace and mercy. And we thank him for that. Try not to make any comments or laugh or gasp. Listen what this guy says, and then we'll get going with tonight.
This is a mandate. He's won the national popular vote for a Republican for the first time since 2004. This is a big deal. This isn't backing into the office. This is a mandate to do what you said you were going to do. Get the economy working again for regular working class Americans. Fix immigration. Try to get crime under control. Try to reduce the chaos in the world. This is a mandate from the American people to do that. I think I'm interpreting the results tonight as the revenge of just a regular old working class American, the anonymous American who has been crushed, insulted, condescended to. They're not garbage. They're not Nazis. They're just regular people who get up and go to work every day and are trying to make a better life for their kids. And they feel like they have been told to just shut up when they have complained about the things that are hurting them in their own lives. I also feel like this election, as we sit here and pore over this tonight, is something of an indictment of the political information complex. I mean, we've been sitting around here for the last couple of weeks, and the story that was portrayed was not true. I mean, we were told Puerto Rico was going to change the election. Liz Cheney, Nikki Haley voters, women lying to their husbands. Before that, it was Tim Walz in the camo hats. Night after night after night, we were told all these things and gimmicks were going to somehow push Harris over the line. And we were just ignoring the fundamentals. Inflation, people feeling like that they were barely able to tread water at best. That was the fundamentals of the election. And so I think that both parties should always look at the results of an election and figure out what went right and what went wrong. But I think for all of us who cover elections and talk about elections and do this on a day-to-day basis, we have to figure out how to understand, talk to, and listen to the half of the country that rose up tonight and said, we've had enough.
Mark, I'm just going down a little bit different path here, and I'm not through with what we were talking about currently. But I have heard from people who tell me or ask me as though I know God's plan, so is the rapture now on hold? Well, you know as well as I do, God is never on hold. He had everything planned out from before the beginning of time. But how would you respond to someone like that?
Depends on how much understanding people have of the Bible. But the bottom line is this, Jan, the rapture is the imminent return of Christ for his church. An imminent return means it can happen at any time. Nothing has to happen. Nothing. No sign has to happen. If you think about the tribulation period, Jesus says, watch for the abomination of desolation. Then there's 3.5 years that's left after that. And that's what Jesus emphasized as the sign that people were supposed to be watching for. We don't have any sign. We're supposed to be looking for Jesus. He can come back anytime. And as Alex quoted earlier in our discussion time, the reason he hasn't come is he's building his church. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's saving for himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we get to be part of that. This is not stalling the rapture of the church.
Not stalling anything God has in mind. The millennium, the new heavens and the new earth, it's set in stone, in other words. I'm going to raise something here as far as what can happen now. I think starting in January of next year, we will no longer be favoring the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is hard to explain to some people that there are administrations, starting with the current one, that definitely favors the Islamic Republic of Iran over the only free nation in the Middle East, Israel. Would you agree, Alex?
There's no question about it. And it's not even just the mullahs in Iran. It's the Islamist movements across much of the Middle East. And I always have to remind people of this because they forget in the incessant whining from the media about how much alleged foreign aid we're giving to Israel. We always lose sight of the fact that they are giving many times more aid to Islamic governments and brutal dictatorships that ruthlessly persecute Christians and have sworn to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. This, unfortunately, has become basically Democrat policy. Give a little bit of money to Israel, give a couple of nice public statements here and there that we support them, and then turn around and arm and aid and train and provide cover for jihadists and others who want to exterminate not just Jews, but eventually Christians. They call Israel the little Satan, America the big Satan. They've got all of us in the crosshairs. And this became very, very apparent during Barack Obama. It was always kind of there as an undercurrent. It wasn't quite as open. Jimmy Carter obviously was working with Islamic extremists. But under Barack Obama, it got to the point where the U.S. government was literally arming and training al-Qaeda, people who proudly called themselves al-Qaeda, whether that's the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group in Libya, which the U.S. military knew in 2007 was an affiliate of al-Qaeda in Libya, or whether it was the quote-unquote moderate rebels in Syria that even Joe Biden admitted were not moderate rebels. They were al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, and eventually ISIS. So this has been the policy of the Democrats. It's taken place with the at least tacit consent of a lot of Republicans, and it's an outrage.
Obviously, there was a catastrophe that's now well over a year ago. That would be back on October the 7th, 2023. I think evil ran amok starting that day. Demons were, in a sense, unleashed on the whole globe, I think, on October 7th of last year. Quite frankly, Mark Henry, demons, they don't settle down ever. How do you think the spirit world is going to be shaken up right now? Because we're going to have transition. Transition is an open door to all sorts of issues that can arise, instability, etc. How do you see the demonic world reacting? And we can't understand the mind of the enemy, but nonetheless, we kind of understand his tactics, and that's to unstabilize everything, come against Israel, come against America, come against the free world, shut down the church, make the church stay quiet.
We know this, that Satan loves weaponizing the government against what God has called good, right? And we've been watching this, Jan, unfold right before our eyes. And you think about it, God created government. He calls it a minister of God in Romans 13 for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And we have seen this whole administration, government leaders in all areas, they're very proud about how they're massacring children and the mutilization of children and the sexual seduction of children and the anti-Semitic ambitions that they've had and supported and blessed, quite honestly. And then their opposition to the church. And as a pastor, I'm sitting there looking at this election and people say, this doesn't have anything to do with the church. It has everything to do with the church because we have a whole slew of leaders that would like to remove the First Amendment, the pesky First Amendment to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the freedom to gather and petition the government. They'd like to see that all removed. So this is definitely a setback for Satan, this recent election. And so we can rejoice and give thanks because policy does matter. And it says so clear in the Bible that sin, when it comes into a nation, brings shame to every people. When evil people rule, the people suffer. And when the righteous rule, they rejoice. So elections matter. Policy matters. Praise God, we get a little reprieve here.
Alex, I said a minute ago, and I referred to a headline, "The World in Shock." And the reason I kind of reacted to that is, why on earth would the world be shocked? And as I said in my intro, and I spent a minute or two on my intro, and I said, righteous people, for that matter, patriots, they don't have to be Christians, people of a more conservative bent, we are tired of being called a deplorable, of being called garbage. We are tired of watching the trafficking of children that the left does not seem to care about. Alex, why would a Drudge report say that the world is in shock? What does the world think is going to happen when a people rises up and says, enough is enough, we are pushing back?
It's a very good question, Jan. Part of the reason they're all in shock is because some of them still believe the fake media.
True.
The fake media has been telling us for months now that, oh, Kamala Harris is so popular, everybody loves her. Look at these polls, it's neck and neck. Oh, Kamala Harris is ahead. So when reality set in and they couldn't steal this election, it was like, whoa, really? You mean we've been living in a delusion all this time? Part of it is that people just refuse to see reality. And I think part of it, too, is that Donald Trump has been such an exception from what we have traditionally seen in American politics. He really has broken the mold. He doesn't fit in neatly to the Republican-Democrat divide where everybody generally agrees on certain basic principles. We've got a very small Overton window in which we can discuss things. And I think part of it, too, is that Donald Trump himself has changed. One of the first things that he said after it was announced that he won the election is that many people have told him that God spared his life for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and that reason was to save our country. I think a lot of people, including people who are sympathetic to the United States, by the way, had just assumed that this trend that we have seen in America of more and more moral degeneracy, more and more outrages, these attacks on our children, for example, was just going to continue accelerating. And now it's kind of shocking that with all of that momentum and with all of that media propaganda, suddenly the American people said, nope, we're not going to have any more of that, at least for the next 4 years. So I think there's a number of reasons for them to be shocked. And to go back to what Mark was talking about, I think the demons will be working overtime as they try to figure out how to address this new wrinkle in their agenda.
Another thought along those lines, Jan, is that Romans chapter 1, that God gives them over. And one of the elements to that is the delusion. You say, why are these people so shocked? Well, the delusional thinking is so great, they give hearty approval to evil. So when a Christian doesn't give, when people stand up and say, that is wrong, that is evil, that's not pleasing to God, they can't help it. They're in darkness. There's only God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Yeah. And they're following Satan's kingdom. So it's not surprising that they're shocked when God in his grace answers the prayers of his people, right? The fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Jen, in my lifetime, I don't know how many elections I've seen. I haven't really counted up, but never have I seen so many Christians committed to prayer and fasting the last several days, and God has answered their prayers.
Couldn't agree more. Just a quick reminder, folks, my new book, When Jesus Returns, is out. It's a compilation of the best messages given at my conferences in suburban Minneapolis over the last 15 years or so. Contributors Amir Sarfati, Mark Hitchcock, Jack Hibbs, Michelle Bachman, Ed Heinsohn, Jeff Kinley, and more. No more pre-ordering if you just go to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and you can order it. Call my office, probably on Amazon. It's in your local bookstore. When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times. I hope you'll check it out. When I get back, I kind of want to go down a little bit different path because I don't have Alex Newman on all that often, but when I do, I think that it would be appropriate to talk about some of the issues related to the Summit of the Future and the Pact for the Future. And is this the beginning, the forming of a one-world system? I think it is, but I think we need to dive just a little bit more deeply into it and take a really close look at just what on earth is going on. And this happened at the United Nations. It was only the end of September. When I get back, we'll talk about that and much more. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. Jan Markell's new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is now available. The book is a compilation of some of the best messages given at her Understanding the Times conferences in suburban Minneapolis over 20 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinsohn, Jeff Kinley, and many more. And all examine these last days with hope and anticipation. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call our office Central Time, Monday through Friday, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or get on our newsletter list. When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is encouraging, uplifting, and is filled with messages that will fill you up and build you up, even in perilous times. Order yours today.
I want to come out of Bobby Lund. We don't want to be part of this. We want to be separate. That's the obstacle to this new age, this new world order. So at the highest levels, these people understand exactly what they're doing.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Here are Jan Markell, Alex Newman, and Pastor Mark Henry to conclude today's programming.
Brandon, before we went on, we talked a little bit about the Summit of the Future. I was actually there. I went to cover it as a correspondent for the New American Magazine.
Yeah.
And the final agreement, the Pact for the Future, one of the most frequently discussed topics is the need for the UN and governments around the world to crack down on misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. And just a quick word about hate speech before giving the details. That's actually a term that the Soviet Union came up with back in the 1970s. It was the Soviets who introduced that into the UN lexicon. And it doesn't mean what you think it means, people. It doesn't mean hating homosexuals or immigrants or any of those things that they want you to think. It really is a label that they believe should be applied primarily to Christians, people who believe what God said about marriage, people who believe what God said about gender, people who believe what God said about any important topic, and ultimately people who believe the gospel, people who believe that Jesus Christ can transform us and that we don't have to be stuck in our sin. Sin is not our identity. You can be transformed. That's hate speech. So eventually, if these people aren't stopped, they fully intend to criminalize the gospel.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times. And just a quick word here, because I'm not quite finished yet with what happened back on November the 5th. And I think some of us were, not fully anticipating what happened on that election day. I have in studio, again, the familiar voice of Pastor Mark Henry. You can learn much more at markhenryministries.com and of Alex Newman at libertysentinel.org. Again, we carry Mark Henry's book, which is The Man Code, and that would be in my online store. And we carry Alex's fascinating book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. And Alex, I'm coming right back to you again because I'm so intrigued with the deep state. And when you were with me, this would have been 2-3 months ago, and we talked very bluntly that the deep state, they're very evil intended people. They think nothing of bumping world leaders off. And at that time, you spoke up about the very possibility of ongoing attempts, not just on the life of Donald Trump, but on anybody who's making a difference. What are you thinking now that you've seen the results of campaign 2024?
Well, I think the strategy will continue, trying to take out anybody who stands for truth, righteousness, liberty. And I think the tactics vary based on the influence of a particular person. We saw incredible attacks on Donald Trump, for example. A lot of times it's just ignoring a person if you can make them go away that way. But the UN has been very, very clear about their desire to censor more and more. As people just heard in that clip, if you read the UN Pact for the Future, it's filled with references committing governments and the UN to fight misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. And I actually ran into the UN Undersecretary General for Communication of the UN. Her name is Melissa Fleming. I don't know her personally, but I did run into her at this summit. And she had just spoken on a panel about press freedom, which I thought was ironic. So I approached her afterwards, and she had announced in 2022 at the World Economic Forum that the UN had now partnered with Google to bury information that they didn't want people to see and to promote information that the UN was putting out. She actually said, we own the science, which shows a fundamental misunderstanding of science, obviously. But I asked her about that. What's the formula that determines with this partnership with Google what people will be allowed to see, what information people will be allowed to access? And she falsely claimed, I don't know who you are, I don't recognize you, and therefore I can't talk to you, which is preposterous. Her team actually had to approve me to be able to go in there. They do very extensive background checks. They've got 150, 160 world leaders there, presidents, kings, prime ministers. There's no way that those people didn't know who we were. And even if they didn't know who we were, why not talk about that? But that's the reality. They want to try to silence anybody who speaks truth. And that could apply to climate change. That could apply to homosexuality. That could apply to the gospel. And they don't want those things spoken. And if they can't silence you by rigging the algorithms and deleting you on social media or shutting down your YouTube channel, they'll go to the next phase, which is even more dramatic, which can include like what they've done to many of Donald Trump's key insiders, they could put you in jail. So we need to recognize that the enemy hates truth, and he will use his minions and those who follow him to try to silence it, whatever the cost.
Mark Henry, you're very aware of this summit of the future. This was back around September 22nd. I think it was probably unnoticed by most Americans. The Biden-Harris administration adopted the United Nations Pact for the Future to transform global governance. When you hear the term global governance, Revelation 13, I mean, are we out of line to think that way?
Jan, I've got that document sitting right here. I think it's like 69 pages or so. I'm holding it right in front of you right now. And as you read down through there, I mean, that term keeps coming up. There are those terms, global governance. But really what they mean is a global government. There's a number of elements to that. But the bottom line is this. They want to give full authority to the UN, to the secretary, whoever that may be, an unelected official, to declare an emergency based on whatever he feels with unlimited time frame over the whole world. That would definitely fit into Revelation 13. And could this be how Satan, in the providence of God, allows it, global governments to take place in that way? Very possible, Jan. It's very disturbing. And when you read down through that document, they think that the sovereignty of the United States and all other countries should be subjugated to the United Nations, to one dictator. Jan, I've traveled around the world preaching, and you look at the leaders in the UN, and I'm going to be really blunt here. They come from corrupt countries.
Yes.
Where the political leaders sell out their countrymen. I mean, when aid is given by the United States to one of these countries, they pocket themselves and they watch their own people starve. They could care less. And then somehow they get placed on these various committees, or maybe they're the secretary of the UN even. And many of them are Marxists. Many of them, they're not committed to the safety of their own people in their own country, let alone the United States. And I don't understand how we have leaders in the United States who are willing to give up our sovereignty other than this. They've bought into the lie of the globalist agenda, which is a demonic ambition that Satan has to rule the world. Remember this, there is going to be a global governance that's going to be good. Jesus is going to be the one in control then. Any global governance between now and then other than Jesus is unhealthy for everyone. God, in Genesis chapter 11, created all the people groups, the nations. Acts chapter 17 says he gives every nation a boundary for a period of time, and he reigns supreme over all nations. So just know that the ambition of Satan is great, and we're looking forward to Jesus coming and his eternal state.
Alex Newman, you were present at this Pact for the Future, Summit of the Future. Did you sense the demonic? Was it palpable?
It's funny you ask that, Jan, because I always do when I go to these UN summits. You feel this darkness coming upon you when you go into these spaces. And that's been true when I go to these climate summits, and it was just as true when I got to the UN headquarters. You can feel that it is this wickedness that pervades the whole institution. In a way, it's frightening. I know we should fear only the Lord, and so I always try to keep that in mind as I'm in these places. But the agenda is so diabolical. When you read through the list of things the UN wants to do, beyond just overthrowing the nation state and creating a one world dictatorship, the things they want for children, the things they want for education, the things they want for property rights, the things they want for family, it's just demonic. Plain and simple. I think the simplest way to understand the UN's agenda, whatever term they put on it, Green New Deal, Sustainable Development, New World Order, Build Back Better was one of the recent ones. Doesn't matter what marketing slogan they use. The real simple way to understand it is just take what God teaches in the Bible and flip it upside down. And what you'll see is that will line up with the UN's agenda all the time, even if sometimes it takes them a little while to come fully out of the closet and admit what they're really up to.
So do you think, Alex, that most of these people that you were rubbing shoulders with, this is back in late September, do you think they're mainly useful idiots, or do you feel they know they are walking the trail of an agenda and they even know what that agenda is?
I think it's a mix. I think when you get to the very, very high levels, there is clear understanding that this is evil, that their commander in chief is Satan. And that sounds radical to non-Christians. I don't care. I think once you get up to the highest levels of the pyramid, if you will, these are people who have consciously, deliberately thrown in their lot with Satan and said, just like Karl Marx, I'm in league with Satan. I'm going to destroy everything that God has ordained. And of course, they will fail over the long term. But in the meantime, they're doing a lot of damage. And one way that you can see this so clearly, they have what they call a prayer, meditation, and reflection room at the UN. So you know about it. 99 out of 100 Americans have never heard of it. They wouldn't let me access it this time around. They said there was too many world leaders, but on normal days, we would have been able to access it. But this is a very bizarre place. I encourage people to read a little bit about it. One of the key players in designing and creating this thing was Alice Bailey. This is a lady who founded the Lucifer Publishing Company and claimed to be communicating with spiritual entities, clearly demons, that she called Ascended Masters, that told her about this glorious coming new age, that the big obstacle to this new age was what she called the great heresy of separateness. In other words, Christians and Jews who want to be holy because our God is holy. We want to come out of Babylon. We don't want to be part of this. We want to be separate. That's the obstacle to this new age, this new world order. So at the highest levels, these people understand exactly what they're doing.
I'm quoting you here because you write, only more globalism can handle the real and imagined problems facing humanity. According to the document, a recommitment to international cooperation based on respect for international law, the pact says, is required, with international cooperation like multilateralism serving as a synonym for globalism. This is not an option, but a necessity. It continues. In fact, the agreement specifically claims that nations and their governments cannot possibly handle the alleged problems that face humanity without the United Nations. Our challenges are deeply interconnected and far exceed the capacity of a single state alone. The pact states they can only be addressed collectively through strong and sustained international cooperation. Mark Henry, I think it's the hope of all of us that a more conservative president someday, should we have the time left, would pull out of the United Nations.
Yeah, when you look at the document again, it's amazing how they wordsmith things. Jan, again, I've got the document right in front of you there. When you skim down through it, if someone would just read the 10 points of Marxism, whether it's the education of the children and how you weaponize them, or the taxation and the taking away of property, or the control of communications and transportation, or the confiscation of property of all the rebels. In other words, you don't go along with the state. We weaponize the government to make sure that you live in poverty and go to the gulag. All they do in this document, Jan, is to take the 10 points of Marxism and wordsmith it in such a beautiful, articulate way so that the average person, if they read it, they would go, oh, that sounds really nice. But the bottom line is this, they have an agenda. These people understand what the agenda is. It's Marxism. And that's the reason we should have a president that stands up and says, this is the exact opposite of what a constitutional republic is. And we're going to lead the way. Those of you who would like to have a constitutional republic, follow us. This is the direction. This is the path of freedom. This Marxist UN movement is only going to lead to your bondage and your slavery, both spiritually and physically.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell. I have in the studio Pastor Mark Henry, Pastors Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. Times of your services, Mark, in Brooklyn Park would be Saturday. What time?
4 p.m. and then Sunday at 8 and 9:30 and 11 a.m.
At 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. is traditional music. Fantastic. And in California?
8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Pacific time. So, Alex, you're saying here, I'm quoting you, the real goal of the UN are the children. Okay, you've already referenced that a few minutes ago, but I think we need to unpack that for a minute or two, because that's a very, very serious statement, particularly in light of child trafficking, etc. Why is the goal of these globalists the children?
Well, I think the simple answer is they know that children are more pliable and they understand what the Bible teaches. If you go to Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. The scripture is filled with this. In Luke, Jesus actually says that a student is not above his teacher, but when he's fully trained, he's going to be like his teacher. So if you want to change the face of humanity, if you want to get people to abandon their religion, their values, the Ten Commandments, you've got to go for the children. We're the bitter clingers. They recognize that education is the key. That's not my opinion. They've said it over and over and over again in their agreements going back decades, and I could cite 10 just off the top of my head. They have a major global plan. They actually have what they call a World Core Curriculum. It was written by the guy they call the father of global education, Robert Mueller. He was a wackadoodle of the highest order. He actually called the UN one time the body of Christ, which we all know, of course, is blasphemy. The church is the body of Christ, not the United Nations. Really interesting. The foreword to the teacher's manual for the World Core Curriculum, which the UN says needs to be taught to every child in every school in every country, he admits that it's based on the teachings of Alice Bailey, who I mentioned earlier. So I bought her books to figure out kind of where they're going with this. She has one that she wrote in partnership with a demon. She called him the Tibetan, Jeval Kul. they admit right there that brainwashing children to submit to one world government and even to have a one world brain is the critical element of bringing about this new age. So that's what the UN's working toward. They have a lot of other plans, but the central element of their agenda to bring about this diabolical one world system is brainwashing the next generation.
Next generation. So, Alex, who's going to head this one world system, the Pact for the Future? Is this the Secretary General of the United Nations? Is he going to head this, or are they appointing someone else?
The Secretary General, and Mark alluded to this, under Action Item 54, mm-hmm. which I think is one of the most critical parts of this Pact for the Future, he would essentially become global dictator in the event of some kind of an emergency. As they say very clearly in there, it reads, and I can even quote it here, it says, "We recognize the need for a more coherent, cooperative, coordinated, and multidimensional international response to complex global shocks and the central role of the United Nations mm-hmm. in this regard. It calls on the Secretary General, who's a socialist, by the way, in the truest sense of the term, to strengthen the United Nations system response to complex global shocks." And if you read the policy brief that was synthesized to create Action Item 54, they give the game away. They say that when the Secretary General, actually the Secretary General himself said, when he declares a global emergency, all sectors of society, government, business, nonprofit, religious, must, and I'm quoting here, recognize the primary role of intergovernmental organs, we're talking about UN agencies here, in decision-making. So he would become a key player, far beyond even what the UN Charter authorizes. But then again, back to the Pact for the Future.
Yeah.
They agreed that all nations must comply with the decisions and uphold the mandate of the International Court of Justice, which is a kangaroo court. So they're setting up the mechanisms here to force the entire world to submit, and there'll be some distribution of power, but ultimately they'll all be walking in the same direction, which is against everything that God has told us.
Mark, let's wind this down a little bit. You have any closing thoughts? And then I'm going to jump to another mini topic here.
Jan, I think that when you think about the Secretary General and the UN, and you ask there, you know, will there be other players involved? What we know is this, that in the final Antichrist government, the Antichrist is going to have 10 kings that pull their authority to him and are going to be working with him. And again, you can read about that in Revelation, you read about it in Daniel. But the bottom line is this, there's only two kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And Satan's doing all he can to weaponize government against the plans and the works of God and the people of God. And the bottom line is this, is Jesus wins. And so therefore we should have hope. We should have courage. We should have anticipation of Jesus coming and be fully committed to him right now to train up our children in the ways of the Lord, to help other people hear the gospel, to live godly in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We can do it in the power of the Spirit.
Alex Newman, just winding down a little bit here. What do you see ahead here for the next, let's say the next year? And let's include this transition time here before we get a new president. We can look at a best case scenario because I don't want to look at a worst case, but do you see things playing out smoothly? That's probably not likely, but give me your thoughts.
Jan, I think we're going to see a lot of turbulence, not just in the run-up to the actual swearing-in ceremony, but in the aftermath as well. I think we're very likely to see conflict, whether it be domestic or international or both. I think we're very likely to see serious economic turmoil in the international markets, stock markets, currency markets, especially with the U.S. dollar. We see the BRICS nations and governments preparing for pulling the plug on the global reserve status of the U.S. dollar. Yeah. The complexity and the shockwaves that that would unleash are hard to overstate. All of that is a very real prospect, potentially even in the next few months here, certainly in the next few years. Now, on the best case scenario, just looking back at the UN for a moment, we're seeing something of a shift in America. For almost the last 80 years, Americans have generally tolerated the UN. They've often even had a positive impression of the UN because they've been misled into thinking that this is an organization for peace, which you really need to understand that's peace in the Soviet sense, as in the elimination of all opposition to tyranny. But when you look at what's happening in America today, we see a huge shift. We have 26 U.S. governors on record just in the last few months saying they will not obey the United Nations when it comes to public health questions. They signed a public letter to Joe Biden. They said, look, the federal government doesn't have these powers under our Constitution. You certainly can't be delegating them to an international organization like the UN and the World Health Organization. So we're not going to obey. We have in Congress right now, in the House and the Senate, for the first time, matching bills to get us out of the United Nations. It's called the Defund Act, which the name is a little misleading because it does much more than defund, but it's about getting us out of the United Nations. It would completely sever our ties. Our troops would no longer serve under UN command with those blue helmets. We would evict their headquarters from our shores. And we've had bills like that in the House. We've had occasional movement in the Senate, but never matching bills. And obviously Joe Biden and his handlers would never sign something like that. But when Donald Trump comes in, he made globalism one of the top targets of his first administration. He's been clear that he's going to do that again. So I think the UN is at the very least going to take a real beating. And I think we should celebrate that as Christians. I think we should encourage that, but ultimately recognizing that our hope is not in politics. Amen. It's not in Donald Trump. It's got to be in Jesus Christ. We've got to be focused on him, and we've got to be focused on doing the things that he called us to do. We can't just sit back and say, oh, great, we have a decent president again. Let's go back to watching our football. No, no, no. God's given us clear commands. We've got the Great Commission. We've got the training and the discipling of our own children. We've got lost people who are facing a potential eternity in hell separated from God. How can we rest? How can we relax when we know that's what's going on? So we've got to redouble our efforts to reach the lost, to proclaim the gospel to the lost. And there's never been a better time than right now.
Thank you for that, Alex. Mark Henry, you just highlighted an article from the Washington Post, opinion article. The second resistance to Trump must start right now. And the author, Perry Bacon Jr., Donald Trump will probably be even more extreme, radical, and cruel to his ideological and political enemies in his second term than he was in the first. We need another resistance to take him on starting right now. Why did you highlight that article?
Because that was written November 6th. So the election takes place on the 5th. We wake up in the morning on the 6th and we hear that Donald Trump has won the election. And right there in the Washington Post that day, opinion piece, big bold letters, the second resistance to Trump must start right now. So whether it's the 66 days that we have between now and the inauguration or afterwards, I just think we've got to come to the realization that light and darkness can't mix, and that the powers of darkness, and as you say, like the demons have been released with the unrighteousness at a new apex, at least in our lifetime. It's going to be a fight for anything that's good, anything that's holy, anything that has righteous value to it. That is an illustration of how committed they are.
I think you're right.
The very first day.
The very first day. Well, those demons are unleashed too. Alex, you're about to head off to Azerbaijan for COP29. Give us 2-3 paragraphs. What are you anticipating at COP29, and what is it? What does it stand for?
COP29 is the 29th conference of the parties. Short, they call it the climate summit. This is the 29th annual UN climate summit. And because of the election results, it's going to be a very, very different climate summit. The last one, they agree they're going to eradicate fossil fuels, hydrocarbon energy. Of course, they were only talking about what used to be known as Christendom. The communist Chinese and the Arabs were literally making oil deals at this conference. It's just for the suckers in the West.
Yep.
At the one before that, they set up this giant reparations fund where they were going to redistribute what's left of middle class American wealth to their third world kleptocratic allies. I go to these every year. And during the first Trump administration, you couldn't believe the hatred. It was like the whole conference was about, let's trash America. Let's hate on America. Let's hate on Americans. They're wicked. They're evil. Everything was about demonizing America. And to be fair, Trump trolled them a little bit. The one in Poland, I remember he sent a team to do an event about how great coal and oil were for humanity. He was really getting under their skin, you know, liberating us from backbreaking labor. So I suspect this one in Azerbaijan, the main purpose is going to be to try to fortify the defenses so that they can hopefully, in their minds, get through the next 4 years and have the climate ship, if you will, intact on the other side.
How is soon-to-be president Donald Trump? He's going to not cooperate with the climate agenda, I guarantee.
There's no question about it. In fact, I just spoke with the chief of staff at the EPA under his first term and asked her about the withdrawal from the Paris Agreement, because they kind of went through the formalities. Yeah. The agreement says we have to wait 4 years, so we'll do that. I asked her, what about the next time? Oh, no, we're not playing around. We're just going to come right out. They're even talking about possibly getting us out of the UNFCCC, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, the agreement that underpins all of it. So it's going to be a bad year for the UN climate cult. And I say cult in the truest sense of the term. Yeah. When I was in Egypt a couple years ago, they walked to the top of Mount Sinai and broke out a new and improved Ten Commandments. It was preposterous. So it's going to be a bad year for them. And that's great news for America. It's great news for Christians. And now would be a good time to get well informed on these issues. I'll be there reporting all of that. So I hope people will stay in touch and keep up on this, because it really is an important part of their agenda. That's why I go.
Mark Henry, 30 seconds if you want to wrap it up.
Dan, you know, I just think we got to look at all that's happening in the world and come to this conclusion. We need God.
Yeah.
All of the greatest leaders in the world, past, present, future, that's nice. But the bottom line is this, we need the hand of God in our life. And so if our listeners haven't trusted Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage each and every one of them. Today's the day of salvation. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Laws are important. They suppress evil, but they can't change a person's heart. They can't make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to be born again. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Thank you, Mark Henry, for that. MarkHenryMinistries.com, LibertySentinel.org. Gentlemen, I thank you so much for sharing so frankly, so bluntly this hour. We are in unprecedented times. I opened the program saying that, and I'll say it again, double emphasis. Therefore, I'm going to go out. I haven't used this for a couple of months. I think it's very calming and very assuring. When the time was right, the sea parted. The walls fell down. The lions went hungry. The sun stood still. The waves were calm. The stone was rolled away. The clouds were parted and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings, he will return. He is never early and he's never late. He's always right on time. And his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We have an interesting year ahead of us, don't we? Stay tuned. It's going to get very, very complicated. And I think we are really now in a countdown to the Lord's return. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Nothing catches God by surprise. He had both the present and the future outlined before time began. And nothing is out of control if we believe God is always in control. He is orchestrating the players on a chessboard so that all things fall into place.